Blog Talk Radio.
We've got a right to pray.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to praise you, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because of thy goodness and thy mercy, Lord. We are not consumed. Ooh, I just thank God for this day. I thank God for another Saturday that we can come together and lift his name up and give him all the praise, honor, and glory that is due his name. That's why we're here. We're here to give God glory. We're here to give God praise. And he is so worthy. He is so worthy of all the praise, honor, and glory. Well, good morning, honey. How are you today?
Good morning.
I was just thinking about that, honey. I was thinking about how when we had testimony service and we would, you know, stand up and say, just be so much for us to thank God for, and we would just say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he does for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. You know, I see a lot of people, and they, you know, when they would give their testimonies, and they would say, God saw something good in me, and that's why he saved me. And I would be like, Lord, I don't see nothing good in me. I don't see nothing that would make you want to have mercy on me and call me into your family. But I thank God that you did. I thank God that you looked down on me, and out of the millions, we used to sing that song, out of the millions of people, God saved me. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his love and his kindness, his mercies, his new mercies every day. I give him the praise. I give him the honor and I give him the glory. Honey, you want to open us up with a prayer?
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We come today in awe again of who you are, your promises, and your kept and fulfilled promise. As we look back over our lives, we can see so much, Lord God, that you have just done for us, that you've done in us, that you have brought us through, that you have saved us from. So much, Lord, that you have given us peace, love, joy, happiness, hallelujah, salvation, provision, a roof over our head, jobs, food to eat, everything that we need according to your word, which said that my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory. We're just happy, Lord God, today to rejoice because those words ring true in our lives because of you, because of your faithfulness. God, you are faithful, and we love you. You are faithful, and we thank you. You are powerful, and we are in awe of you. You are awesome, Lord God, and we just adore you right now. But you are so good. We love you, Lord God. We appreciate you. We appreciate your salvation that you've given us. We appreciate every breath that you allow us to breathe. It's not because of our goodness. It's not just because of nature. But, Lord God, our every breath comes from you. Every thought, hallelujah, our mental capacity, it comes from you. Every movement of our hands, our feet, every muscle in our body, every reflex that we have is because of your faithfulness and your concern, how you just have made us. Hallelujah. You put us together and you've kept us and you're keeping us day by day. We thank you, Lord God. Father, this day we yield all things into your hand. We have so much, Lord, to be thankful for, and we say thank you. And there's so much, Lord God, that we stand in need of, and we look to you right now on behalf not only of ourselves, but especially of those that are listening in. Father, where there is health and strength needed, heal and deliver. Where there are broken hearts, mend the broken heart, because, hallelujah, Jesus, you said you are anointed, hallelujah, for that thing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, where there is need, lack, provide all that is needed, whether it be food, whether it be money, whether it be clothes, whether it be shelter, hallelujah, whether it be relationships, provide that need right now. Move in your people, that we will be your hands, hallelujah, that we will show forth your love, that we will give of our substance in the name of Jesus where we see need, so that someone who needs transportation, someone who needs a job, someone who needs a place to stay, someone who needs a touch, Father, in the name of Jesus, work in your people right now. Anoint us, mobilize us, that we will go forth doing good, hallelujah, bringing those into the fold, showing forth your love. In the name of Jesus, anoint this broadcast today. Let your word go forth, hallelujah, according to your purpose, according to your glory, that your name will be glorified and that your people will be edified, that your people will be encouraged, that your people will be lifted up, hallelujah, that there will be no more bowed down or hung down heads at the end of this broadcast, but that we will look and live, that we will see and know that we have hope in you, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let those who have burning testimonies that the world needs to hear, anoint them right now. Wake them up, Lord God. Cause them, without even knowing why they're doing it, to call into this broadcast right now. Hallelujah. Move, Holy Spirit. Move right now in their lives. Hallelujah. Shake them from their sleep. Cause them to listen in, to call in, and to share your goodness, and let those words be ministry to someone. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And, of course, we are, they overcame, and we are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministries, where evangelist Adrienne Bernard is the host, and we came from, our title comes from Revelation, the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, and it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And we just feel like the Lord has given this to us so that we can proclaim the name of Jesus, so that we can let the world know who our Lord and Savior is and just what he's doing for us, just the blessings that he's blessing us with, the trials and the tests that he's taken us through, the sicknesses that he's healed us from, Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm just going to give our guests a few minutes to sign on. Haven't spoken with her, but I just believe that God is going to, or maybe she has another burning appointment that she needed to take care of this morning. Whatever, we're going to go on, because God is still deserving of us giving him praise, giving him honor, and giving him glory. And we're going to do that. We're going to do that. God is worthy of our praise. I think back and when I look back over my life and I think things over, Pastor Clay Evans sang that song, his choir sang that song. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. That's the name of the song, I've Got a Testimony. And truly, God has been good to us. He's been good to us, even when we are in the valley and we look like we don't have anything to praise God for. We think that we're, you know, we're forgotten, or we think that we're going to sink and not be able to rise again. But God, hallelujah, but God. And, you know, God is moved by our faith. And I say all the time that always, Lord, put me in remembrance, even of the small things. When my mind is so consumed by the situations that are happening around me, and it feels like I won't make it. It feels like, you know, nobody cares about me. I've come to the realization that if I ask God to do a thing, he's going to do it. And so what I'm supposed to do in this situation, like I used to tell the boys when they were in school, your job is to go to school and let everything else, you know, be secondary. And my job in this situation is just to believe God, to have faith in him. How, Sister Billy, can I believe God? Things look so devastating, and things look like I'm just not going to make it. I'm just not going to be able to, you know, survive this thing. But when we look back over our lives, hallelujah, we look back over our lives.
You know, as you were saying that, even this morning before you woke up or before you got up, I was thinking about just the cycle in God. It's such an awesome cycle in God of faith and faithfulness. Our faith in God's faithfulness is just such an awesome cycle of just life-changing. Like a current that's life-changing. I won't say a perfect storm, but such a whirlwind of just faith and faithfulness. Our faith in God, which, of course, is triggered by the faithfulness of God. So as we look and see the faithfulness of God, our faith can't help but to increase. And the Bible lets us know, even Jesus himself let us know, that he's just really moved by faith. And the psalmist put it great in the psalm that said, "Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." There's a lot of power in just the meditation. There are times we need to just stop and meditate. Our faith is not where it should be sometimes because we don't take enough time. to meditate. When we think back over, when we look back over our lives and when we think things over, in other words, when we spend that time meditating and we just reflect on what God has done and take inventory, you'll find just how awesome God is. And just that, those moments of meditation will increase your faith. And what happens when your faith increases? God is moved by your faith, and he shows forth his faithfulness. You want to get out of what you're in, you want to get out of the cycle that you're in, or you want to get out of the funk that you're in, meditate on God and who he is, his faithfulness, what he's done in your life, and you'll find that that will increase your faith, and as your faith increases, the faithfulness of God will be more and more manifest in your life. And just look and see what God will do for you, and look and see where you find yourself, out of the valley, on the mountaintop, ready to run through troops, to run, however that goes, storm through troops and leap over walls, because if we just take time to meditate on who God is and what he's done, he's faithful. Let us have faith.
Yes, Sonny, I was just thinking as you were talking that a lot of times we say, well, meditate, you know, we think about meditation as something that other religions do, like the Buddhists, they meditate and they chant. And we also meditate and recite. We don't necessarily chant, but we recite. But sometimes I find that I am chanting and I'm saying, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. He's not going to let me fall. He's not going to let me fail. He knows the way that I go, and he's going to bring me out as pure gold. So that's a chant. And then sometimes we say, I don't know how to meditate. I've never meditated before. But you have meditated when you consider things like the bad things that are happening in your life and you replay them over and over again. That's meditation. So what we need to do is change that and start meditating on the things of God. Like my husband just quoted some verses out of the first Psalms, and you know, we'll be like a tree planted by the waters, the still waters. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, don't seem to hear from Pastor Jernigan. I was so excited, and I still am, and we will get a chance to hear her. I listened to her testimony on YouTube, Pastor Jernigan, and just saying how the Lord has delivered her from, and it's not something that's just happened. It's not something that's a fresh thing. Not a fresh thing. I think she said, like, she's been out of that lifestyle for some 13 years, I think she said. So she's no novice in this thing, but delivered from homosexuality, delivered from the lifestyle that is so against God. If we do have degrees of sin that we feel like, you know, we say that that's a big sin, you know, that's a little sin, but in God's eyesight, sin is sin. There's no big or little sin. Sin is sin. So don't think that because we overeat, and yes, overeating is a sin. The Bible talks about gluttony. And so we, you know, we We put degrees on seeing ourselves, but God delivers. He delivers us from everything. He raises the dead. He still does that. He's still saving. He's still delivering. He still is a mind regulator. He's still the things that would overwhelm us. If we would just turn to God and look to him, we would find relief. We will find relief in the things. And we hurt the things over in our mind. When my boys were younger and I homeschooled them for 3 years, my husband and I, and we had this program, and it was a program that talked about the more senses you use, the more embedded that lesson that you're trying to learn gets down on the inside of you. So if you use your sight, you read the word, and you use your mouth and you speak the word. You use your hands, because a lot of times it's helpful for me to write a scripture out for me to meditate on, so that I can post it on my mirror, post it on my wall somewhere, so that when I'm going by it, I can, you know, look at it and recite it. And that's three senses that you're using, and that makes it more in your spirit. The more that you rehearse it, the more that you say that thing over and over again. Honey, have you found that to be true? Even in learning scripture, if you say it out loud and, you know, you recite it over and over again, and not to the point where, you know, we used to do when we were cramming for a test or we go to the store for our parents and we didn't write a note, we just trying to remember what they said. So we said, okay, bread, milk, butter, bread, milk, butter, bread, milk, butter. And the more we say it, the more we think we're going to remember it. But sometimes we get to the store, it's one thing that you've forgotten, and you come home and you have to run back and get it. But that's a little something that I don't know if anybody else did that, but I would do that. Forget something from the store and have to run back to the store and get it. Are you there, honey? Okay. Well, today I want to talk about from Pastor Gregory Dickow. I want to talk about dreaming a dream and not really being fully persuaded that God is going to fulfill the dreams. But we know that dreams can come from God. They can come from other sources. They can come from maybe a movie that you've watched, or maybe a scenario that's happening, you know, in your life. Or, you know, maybe they come from a food that you ate that kind of didn't sit right in your system, and so it caused you to have a bad dream. But don't give up on your dreams. In Hebrews it says, do not forget the things of God, the things that God has done, the things that God has promised. It has great recompense of reward. So don't forget it. Don't forget it. And the lesson today is, there's no point in dreaming a dream. I'm just trying to survive. And we're going to go to Acts, the second chapter, and the 17th verse. Let me give you a chance to pull that up. the second chapter and the 17th verse. Okay, and it reads, "In the last day, God said, I will pour out of my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Why does he say old men? Because in the beginning of our lives, we're hopeful. We have our whole lives in front of us, and we have aspirations and goals that we want to reach. And some we achieve and some we don't achieve. But the ones that we don't achieve are the ones that maybe we haven't concentrated more on. So God wants us to know that even as when we become seniors, he still has wants us to dream. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream. The Holy Spirit is the author of dreams. In a lot of instances, we think that something that we've dreamt, I'm not one that can interpret dreams, but God has given the ability, the gift of some to interpret them and let you know. But you know what? There's something about God. If we just ask him, if we just diligently seek after him and ask him, the Bible says that he will not do anything without telling his servant first. So a lot of times we don't ask God. I have some questions before God myself right now that I'm asking. And however he wants to give it to me, if he gives it to me in a dream, if he gives it to me in a word of knowledge, send someone. But he will answer if we ask him. He will answer. So dreams that are from God will line up with the word of God. When we have a dream that is ministry, when we have a dream about ministry, a lot of times we think that, you know, well, that's too much. I was talking to a friend last week, and we were talking. She was saying that something was happening so awesome in her life, and she said, I never dreamed that this would happen. But she's been preparing all her life for this thing that's happening in her life now. And so I'm sure if she thinks about it, she will remember, you know, yeah, I did. I can't say that I didn't imagine this, because this has been an aspiration. I've prepared for it all my life. God is able to bring about the dreams that we dream. He's able to, you know, allow us to achieve the things that he has. In Jeremiah, he says that I know the plans I have of you, plans to prosper you and bring you to an expected end. God's plans are our dreams. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the author of dreams. So dreams that are from God must line up, like I said, with the word of God. We can find that a big promise in God's word. We are given a dream to work with. We are given. That's how a lot of, I would guess most things are even invented. We first dream a thing, or we see a thing in a vision, and then, you know, we start working toward that end. And the Bible says every good and perfect thing comes from above. So if it's a good and perfect thing, then know that it's from God and don't give up on it, because God is not going to allow something that he wants to bring forth not to come forth. I remember my son Christopher preached his first sermon, and the sermon was, God will get out of you what he put in you. So never stop dreaming, never stop believing God, because if it's something that God has given you, he'll bring it to pass, as long as we allow his will to be done in our lives. Dreaming big is what enables God to do big things in our lives. And in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse, let's go to that. Ephesians 3 and 20. And Ephesians is after, in the New Testament, for those who don't know, after Galatians, after 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Okay, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. And it says, now unto him, hallelujah, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works within us. And then 21 says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that can do exceedingly, the King James says, and abundantly above that we can ask or even think in our minds. Hallelujah. He's able to do that thing. He can go above that we even think. And that's why sometimes he has to give us a dream, because we can't, in our finite mind, we can't imagine some of the heights and depths that he would have us to do. It frightens us sometimes. Sometimes the things that we have to go through to achieve the dreams, God doesn't let us know, because it might frighten us to the point where we'll say we don't want to go. But God is able. He's able to do infinitely beyond our highest hopes or dreams. But never stop dreaming. Never dismiss your dream. And when you have a dream that you don't understand, ask God. Ask God to reveal it to you. Lord, what does this mean? What is this dream about? How am I going to achieve it? Show me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And it's a way for God to call us to him when our dreams are at a point, not to make us want to sleep all the time, because the Bible says nothing comes to a sleeper but a dream. And if you don't work something out, then it just stays a dream. But allow God to move in you, and allow God to achieve those things through you, for you, for his kingdom. Amen, amen. Your heart is a dream manufacturing center. Ah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can't imagine. Some of the things that we dream seem so far removed from us. Oh, my God. We can't imagine even achieving some of those things. I look at some of the great men and women of God, and I wonder, do they imagine that something so awesome would happen in their lives, that God would use them so just miraculously, they everybody starts out the same. We all start out the same. We start out as babies, and then we become children, and then we become teenagers, and then we become adults. Hallelujah! But it's through that stage that we learn how to trust God. We learn how to trust God in our youth through what our parents tell us, through what we see around us, and we live off of our parents' relationship with God. But then as we get older, hallelujah, and dream the dreams that God has given us, then we have to take a time to develop a relationship with Him ourselves, a personal relationship with Him, so that He can talk with us. We used to sing a song, He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as I tarry there, none other has ever known. It is so sweet to just get into a place with God where you can say, I've read where a man that was, not much, hadn't achieved much in his life, but he came to God every day. And he would say, Lord, it's just me again. I just want to have fellowship with you. He would walk miles and miles and miles to get to the church house. I'm so glad that we don't have to do that. In our homes, we can connect with God. In our vehicles, we can connect to God. We can connect to God anywhere if our heart is open to it. But let's go to Habakkuk, the second chapter and the second verse, a familiar chapter. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Hallelujah. Are you there, honey? Okay, I don't hear you.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Pardon the wind noise, but I'm still here.
Okay. Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision. Okay, honey, your wind is bothering. He had to leave me this morning and leave me to myself. But I know that I'm not alone, and I know that his spirit is here with me, as we say. I don't know, our spirit stays with us, but we say that, our spirit is with him. But anyway, Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, the things that God has given you, write them down. It's a good practice to keep a tablet around. Now, I'm not so organized. I have many tablets, and I'll write them down. I'll write stuff down, but the things that I feel like God is saying to me, those I try to keep somewhat close to me and read over them, you know, when I need them. But the Bible says, write the vision that when we're gone, when we're no longer here, someone will be able to read those words. It pains me sometimes when I think about our forefathers that have gone on to be with the Lord, mighty, mighty men of God that have allowed, they've preached, and we have their messages on Reel to Reel, and I know some of you don't know what that is, but Reel to Reel, and then we had the cassette, and then we had the CDs, and then now we have the MP3s, and we can hear the messages that day. We can transfer them, you know, from one device to another device. We could transfer them, but they've left here, and they haven't written down some of the things that God has given them, some of the revelations that they have. We can hear them, you know, and we can run with them. But sometimes I just wonder, you know, how many books are in the grave with them because they weren't written down. So write the vision. Write your visions out that God has given you, what God is saying to you, the things that God wants you to do. Write them out. Write them out so that others may hear them, may be able to read them and run with the vision. Sometimes God gives us a vision like he did with David. He gave David the desire, and I believe it's a vision of David wanted to build a house for him. But he didn't, God didn't allow him to build the house, but his son built the house. And I'm sure that David spoke with him about building a house for God, but I'm sure that he wrote down, you know, go here and get the wood and, you know, there's gold, there's silver, you know, and other places that you need to go and get. And Solomon was able to amass all those things and build God a glorious house that he could reside in. But, you know, I'm so glad, hallelujah, I'm so thankful that I don't have to go to a house to be in God's presence. He's in me. He's within me. He's within me. But writing the vision helps the next person to be able to run with the vision that God has given to us. Amen, amen. So now let's go to Proverbs, the third chapter and the third verse. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Hallelujah. Write them on the tables of your heart. That's something that we meditate on. That's how we write them on the tables of our heart, meditating on, okay, this is what God would have me to do. This is how I'm going to achieve it. We don't have to guess. Abraham did not have to guess what God wanted him to do. He was able to direct him. Moses did not have to guess. He was sent, didn't know where he was going. Well, Moses knew where he was going. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But I believe that God had, he had meditated so on this God that he was able to direct him because it was in his heart. It was in his heart what God wanted him to do. And I'm sure that he meditated on it, and that's how he was able to do the things that God had for him to do. And then Proverbs, the fourth chapter and the 23rd verse, it says, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Meditate on the things of God. Don't become so consumed with the world and the things that are happening in the world that we lose focus. Samson is an example. He knew his purpose. He knew what he was called to do, but he allowed the world and Delilah. Delilah is the one that represents the world. She came and she beat on him, and she constantly pulled on him. What's the secret? What's the secret? What's the secret? Until the cares of the world overtook him, and he gave what was in his heart to the world, and he was defeated. He was able to recover before death, but he was defeated. He was defeated in the things that God wanted him to do. Now, was God surprised by Samson falling? No, no. God was not surprised. I always say when I think about myself, and I used to think, oh, Lord, why can't I be like that person? Or why can't I be like that person? Or why can't I deliver a message like them? Why can't I, you know, do the things that you like them? The thing. But God was not surprised by Billy. He knew what he had when he called me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's not surprised by us, the ways that we do things. He's not surprised. Don't allow the world to come in and say, because I'm somewhat of a jokester, and, you know, not joke, I don't do jokes, but, you know, people laugh when I say certain things, and I'm not necessarily trying to be funny, but they laugh. But God knew Billy's character, and he wants to use us the way that he designs it. He doesn't want us to be a carbon copy of anybody else. He wants us to know who we are, hallelujah, and he wants to use us the way that we are. Yes, there are some things that need to fall off of us. Allow those things to fall off. Allow God to mold you. Don't be afraid to get on that potter's wheel and God to say, okay, no, this is not right. Let me start all over. It hurts sometimes, some of the things that God does, you know, wants to take off of us. Sometimes we don't want to let them go. But God is not surprised, and he's not afraid that we're not going to be able to do the things that he has for us. Just write the things in our heart. Now, if we write those things in our heart, God is going to be able to work the things that he has for us. He said that we can do all things through him, hallelujah, because we love him. Do you love him today? Do you really love him? Do you love the fact that he loves you just the way that you are? Hallelujah. Just the thoughts that go through your mind. Yeah, we have some thoughts that shouldn't be there. Let's kick those out and think about the things of God and think about my husband has a life group that meets in our home every Wednesday night, and I'm just surprised that, you know, some of the things that are shared in the Bible study, and some of us haven't been raised in the church, and then some of us have. When we look at the things that God is doing, I wasn't always in the church. Some of the people, my husband and some of the people that are, all of the people that are in the Bible study, I guess I'm the odd one that is not one that was from the womb in the church. From a young child, I attended church, but I wasn't necessarily in the church. But God has a way of molding us and bringing about the things that he has planned for us. And it starts with a dream. It starts with a desire that he gives us. The Bible says that it's for him to work in Peter, both to will and to do of his good pleasure into us. We don't have to do anything but allow God to do the things in us that he wants us to do. But it starts in a dream. It starts with the things that we put on our heart. Hallelujah. So let's allow those things to manifest in our heart. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, I think I read this, but I'm going to read it again because it's something that we need to hear. And it says, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I can't say that enough. Guard your heart. The things that are happening in the world are so frightening. I'm looking at the things that are happening in Florida, the things that are happening here with our governor. If we don't guard our heart, we'll become fearful and we'll become where we can't see what God is doing. And we're not able to achieve the things that God has for us to achieve. We allow Delilah to come in and we give away the secrets that God has for us in our lives. God is expectation is key. Expect God to give you understanding about his vision and his dreams. We dream dreams and we're so self-absorbed that we call everything ours. We call everything ours. One time my husband's friend was here and I know that I have a habit of it. I said my son and my house and my car and my this and my that. And he said, does anything belong to Al? I guess he got irritated with me. Does anything belong to Al? And I was like, well, yes. You know, I don't necessarily mean that it's mine and mine alone, but that's just a term that I use. But they're his visions and his dreams. He gives those things to us to enhance the kingdom, to grow his kingdom. The church that we attend is a church that has a vision for outreach and building the kingdom. Outreach and building the kingdom. That's what God wants us to do. But it's not their vision. It's not Pastor Chris's vision. It's not Pastor Matthew's vision. It's a vision that God has given to them. And through his vision, we work the vision. But we have to have it within ourselves also. We have to know that what is our purpose here, Lord? Well, one purpose is to get to know God. And the other purpose is to help other people to get to know him, to sing his praises, to tell what he's doing. A lot of people are afraid to witness. We've made it such a big thing. We've made it such a the enemy has caused us to be afraid, and that's what we're dealing with in these few weeks. And I think this Wednesday will be the last of it, but it's about witnessing it. And telling of people, telling people about God, and how do I do that? How do I do that? By just telling your story. And that's what we're finding out. Just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, to tell people what God has done for you. It's his vision. It's his kingdom. We're just to build it. We're to build it and to lay brick upon brick, so that the kingdom will be built. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, which means he is the rock, the foundation. If I look at HGTV a lot, and they have, you know, they say that things have to be plumb, and if they're not plumb, then everything else will get out of line. Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he's plumb. Hallelujah. And because of him being plumb, everything will fall right in line. So let's build the kingdom. Let's build the kingdom brick upon brick. Hallelujah. Mortar upon brick. And let's cause the enemy to be defeated. Now, he's defeated already. He doesn't know that he's defeated. He knows that he's defeated, but He doesn't want us to know that he knows that he's defeated, but he's defeated. And when we do the things that God wants us to do, he sees his defeat drawing nigh. Don't limit God to just what we need. My four and no more. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? In Mark 10 and verse 45, let's go there. Mark 10, verse 45. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are to herald the things that God's doing, that God's done for us. Even with the devastation and the tragedy that are in the world today, we have a light, and we're the light, but we have a light that we're looking to. And when have you ever been looking at something like you walking past something? We had to do this. It was some kind of exercise that I had to do in school. We were supposed to just stand and just stare up in the sky, and you find that you're staring up in the sky, and you start seeing other people staring up like, what is she looking at? What is she doing? That's how we're supposed to point people to Jesus. We're supposed to stand out, not in a threatening way, but stand out and point people to Jesus, to Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't limit God by just what I need, what I need. Lord, what do you need from me? That should be our prayer every day. What is my duty for today? What am I supposed to do for you today? Who am I supposed to talk to today? Who am I supposed to encourage today? Who am I supposed to give a word, let people know that you love them and let people know that you care? Who needs to hear my testimony today? Use me. Use me today. I want to be used by you. Bartimaeus did not need to see survival. He didn't. He was the one that was in the sycamore tree, and Jesus told him to come down, because I want to have eat with you today. I want to go to your home and eat. There are so many Bartimaeuses now in the world that need for us to be Jesus for them. Come down. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about the Samaritan woman. Said, let me come and see a man. Come and see a man. Well, herald his things that he's doing in your life, the dreams and the aspirations that he's brought about, that he's allowed you to be able to do, he's allowed you to be able to achieve, not for your glory, not for your glory, but for his glory and for his honor. Expect God to give you an understanding about his visions and his dreams. Expect him to give you that. Expect him. Lord, what does this mean? That's how we seek God. That's a place of seeking and yearning after God. Have you? I know that years ago I was listening to a preacher, and he was preaching this message, and he talked about how I think it was I don't know who it was, but they were fighting a fight. And they threw the body of their dead comrade into this I guess it was like a pit, and the bones of, I think, Elisha were there, and the men came back to life because they fell into where the anointing was. That's what we're supposed to be today. We're supposed to, men that are walking out, and I use men generically. My father told me years ago that when you get 21, you'll be a man. I couldn't understand that. And I said, no, Daddy, I won't be a man. I'm a woman. But he was speaking of mankind, and that's what he told me. So I'm not say woman, or, you know, I'll say man, but I'm using it generically. We have life. We have the life within us, and we're able to touch people's lives and allow them to have life. Allow God to deal with you on that and open that up to your understanding. We selfishly do not expose people. It's a selfish act. It's a selfish act. But think about it like this. If you were walking down the street and you saw someone get hit by a car, and say the car kept going and there's nobody out there but you, would you keep walking, or would you come to aid that person in any way that you could? That's the way men are out here now. They're walking, they're bleeding, they don't know, they're scared about the situation. They're not thinking about eternity, but we know that they're eternal creatures, and once this body is dissolved, once we go back to the dust, there's still a life that's in us that has to reside somewhere. Let's care about the person, the people that we see. Don't be selfish and keep Jesus to yourself. Share him with whomever. And let God use your personality. Don't try to be like the next person and, you know, have this fantastic testimony and, oh, this is what God did. I had a guest on that was raised from the dead. God raised him from the dead. He was clinically, he was in the hospital and he died, and God raised him from the dead. Well, I don't have that testimony. I don't have that testimony. I was not dead in my body, but when I didn't know Christ, when I wasn't living for Christ, I was really a dead man walking around. But someone shared Christ with me, and when they shared Christ with me, I was able to become alive and have a rebirth in him. And now I can help someone else, resuscitate someone else with the love of God. I can resuscitate someone else with the love of God. We don't understand some of the things that God is doing in our lives. We don't understand some of the situations that happen in our lives, but God can use it and get the glory out of our lives. He can use every situation. He can use the circumstances that seem so devastating in our lives and in the lives of people that we come in contact with. But once we have that vision of what God can do for us, when we look back over our lives and we think about the things that God has brought us from, delivered us from, given us, blessed us, our children, we look at our children and we have happy, healthy, normal children. Someone's child is not normal. Someone's child is not healthy. But we can give them hope. We don't have to allow them to stay in a place where they are hopeless, because we have Christ and our hope is in him. Our hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. No other ground, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's not despair. Let's not give up our dreams. They're not our dreams. They're dreams that God has given to us. And allow him to open them up so that we can understand, so that we're enlightened. And when we're enlightened, we will be able to enlighten others. We'll be able to survive. So let's say this. Think it and say it. Remember I talked earlier about using the more senses you use, the more something gets into you. So I'll repeat this after me. I will not settle with just surviving in life. I will receive God's dreams for my life. And he will bring them to pass. Dreaming big is his idea. And it enables God to do what he longs to do in my life. I think big, ask big, and dream big. I will fill my heart with God's promises, creating God's dream for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dreaming, dreaming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for the lesson on today. Yes, honey. You wanted to say something?
Good morning. I just was on the road and I couldn't talk. I cut in at the time, and this kind of goes back to what you were saying a little bit earlier. When you were talking about the scriptures said, write the vision, and you were also giving the example about how many, or the thought of how many of our forefathers have in the faith have just gone to the grave and taken so much with them, and where those things, some of them were written down. Some of those great men did write extensively. Many didn't. They wrote their sermons and gave them to us, and then we just have that as a memory. But I took that as a word, and everyone that's listening and everyone that will listen should take that as a word. And this was what rose up in my spirit when you said that. It's that we need to be writing books, and those books really don't have to be, I mean, we don't have to be creative to write. If God has given us a vision, then we've got something to write. It said, the scripture said, write the vision, make it plain. And then it goes on to talk about so that, you know, those who run will be able to run with it. And each of us has a, especially if we're any kind of leader in the kingdom, each of us has a circle of influence or a sphere of influence, people that we influence and are influenced by. And if we will take the time that when God considers us special enough to give us a vision, should we not put that vision down in writing, even in the form of a book, so that those whose lives we do influence, if it's no more than your family, your children, whatever organization you're a part of, those who you might lead in any kind of way, can have that vision also. You can share that vision also. People have said, I think kind of recently it's been said, everybody needs to write a book. Well, it sounded a little trite at the time, but when you think about the fact that God gives us visions, and he said, write the vision, that's almost like in modern day time, and the word of God is alive, that's instruction for us to, when we have a vision, write it as a book so that others can continue to follow it when we're gone or even when we're no longer able to do that vision or we have another vision to run with. But that vision shouldn't die. And if it's in a book, it won't die. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen. Well, I see my friend, Thomas Merritt, is on the line. Are you there, Thomas? Thomas, are you there? Or is this not Thomas? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
How
God
are you
bless
this
you
morning?
Can you hear me?
You're going in and out, but I can hear you. God bless you. God bless you this morning.
You're on the road. Within town. Yes.
Yeah, you're on the road to Georgia. Well, our guest didn't. Our guest had something more important that she had to do this morning. But I'm so glad that you tuned in. Do you have something to share with us about dreams and visions and writing them down? And
well, I think most of all right now what God is sharing with me is that even in the days that we're living in, we have to be more cognizant of his voice and to be mindful of the things that are taking place around us. And in saying that, there are many things that are taking place that we are not aware of that are taking place right in our presence, such as worship of evil spirits and things like that that we see and have no idea of in a lot of the music videos that our children are watching. And so the main thing is beware of the things that the devil is using as tactics to destroy our youth and our future, and begin to alert our children of the things that are taking place. And so in order to do that, we must be aware of them ourselves. So God is saying, be not ignorant of the devices of Satan, because he is a foe that is powerful in what he does. And he's more powerful because we are ignorant of his devices and we have not known how he operates or known the tactics he uses, and that we are just lost in understanding who he is and how he uses and different things to deceive and cause torment in families and in our children. So God is telling us to wake up, to open our eyes, and begin to pray and ask him, Lord, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear your voice. Give us a spirit of discernment to see those things around us. Give us a spirit of discernment to discern those that are lurking among us, the traps, the plots, and the plans of the enemy, so that we can be aware of those things before we allow ourselves to fall victim to the plots and the plans of the enemy in these days and times. He's doing everything he can to take us out because the times are really winding up. As you can tell, the seasons of the time have come now. We don't even know what season it is. It seems like it's fall now. Temperatures are 70 degrees, where it should be in the 90s and 100 degrees here in North Carolina. Yeah, so it's a wake-up call to us all. to know the traps, the plots, and the plans of the evil one, that we not be deceived in these days. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. 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 So true. And a lot of times we ignore because of the life that we live. Everything is hustle and bustle, and we don't take time to sit and just sit in the presence of God and listen to Him. He mm-hmm. has to give us dreams and visions, and then we, you know, we not knowing that they're necessarily coming from God, you know, we don't dwell on them. We don't, you know, we don't consider them important. You know what I'm saying? We don't consider them important, but God is God is good. Well, you guys have a safe trip. It's always a pleasure, and thank you for calling in. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, and you always spew such wisdom to us when you give us a call. I appreciate that. Appreciate your love for us. Love. Tell my sister I said, praise the Lord, and you guys have fun down there with those grandbabies.
Yes, we didn't get a chance to go this time. I have to give you information. I have to give you a call on that later.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have Brother who preached a dynamic message on New Destiny Ministry this week on knowing your purpose. Oh, it was powerful. It was powerful. Are you there, Minister Michael?
Yes, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So glad that you joined us this morning. Our guest was not able to join us, Pastor Jernigan. She wasn't able to join us this morning, but we'll have her on at another time. But I was just saying how the message that you delivered for New Destiny's ministry was such a blessing, blessing to us.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. Well, we were talking about dreams and visions on today, which is kind of going along with what new evangelist Bernard was talking about, purpose in your life. Knowing your purpose and running with the purpose in your life. So do you have something that you want to share with us? We're not going to stay on long. Something you want to share with us this morning?
I was just calling in. I didn't get a chance to wake up at 5 o'clock like I normally do. I just woke up. So I was just hoping I could catch something y'all was talking about. But, it's... the blessing to have a dream and a vision given to you of God, because He say the people perish because of the lack of a vision. And, you know, with a vision, you begin to have a purpose, something that drives you towards something. And a lot of people don't understand that God has purpose in every man. And that something is to walk Him, talk like Him, live like Him, be exactly as He is. And Jesus said it by this. He said, "All this you'll know that you are my disciples, the life that you display, give one another." That's a purpose. Your purpose on this earth as a man, woman, boy, and girl, called of God, is to love Jesus. Through that, you know, He said you will fulfill all the righteousness, every commandment. Oh, you will live it because you have a driving you to be just like you.
I think we lost the mic. I don't know if we were able to hear him. I was hearing like an echo while he was speaking, but Yes, he was talking about that God, the given vision that God has for us leads to our destiny. And he, please go to the archives and listen to the messages and even the broadcast. They overcame New Destiny Ministry, Adrian Bernard, and listen to the messages that we've had prior to this. Are you there, Brother Mike?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Oh, that wasn't you that dropped. I'm sorry. That was somebody else that dropped. But I was hearing an echo, so I didn't quite hear what you were saying.
Yeah, I was hearing that too.
Okay.
What I was saying is God has purpose in every man, you know, the purpose of him. You know, he created the heavens and the earth with a purpose in mind. And same as he was driven with a purpose that he gave to every man through Christ Jesus, by Jesus coming down and dying and rose again and now sitting at the right hand, he has purpose in us. And the purpose that he purposed in us was he gave commandment to the 12. He said, for this all men will know that you're my disciples, how by the love that you give, you have, that you put on display one to another. And through that, God has purpose in us that we should walk like him, talk like him, live like him, be exactly as he is. He said, for as he was in the earth, so we should be. And this is the purpose that is driven in every man, that the vision that God has given us is his vision. It's not the vision. We carry the same vision of God by going out into the highways and the hedges, compelling men, women, boys, and girls to come that his house might be filled. He said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the purpose is, you shall be a witness. So this is what our purpose is in life, that God gave us a dream and a vision, and our dream and our vision should match up with his. Again, vision and our dream should match up with God's. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. That, and we look at our, we say ours, but it's, God gives us those visions. So they're really his visions, and they're really his dreams. He just gives them to us for us to fulfill them. But a lot of times we shy away. And as we were saying earlier about even witnessing to people, you know, we don't allow ourselves to be used by God. God could have, I walk, and sometimes when I'm walking, the Lord will have me to say something to somebody. And sometimes, you know, I have the nerve to say, Lord, I just want to walk. I don't want to, you know, come out here to talk to anybody. You know, but that's a purpose that we're here for. And we should, when God gives, we're in our life group that we have on Wednesday nights, we're talking about witnessing to people. And a lot of times we don't, you know, we don't feel like I'm capable of witnessing. I don't have, you know, really anything, you know, to witness about. But then when we look at our lives and we look at, we don't know. I've walked past people and the Lord said, you know, you don't know what she's going through today. Tell her that I love her. And then I have walked past a person, and so strong in my spirit, you know, the Lord will start rebuking me, and then I'll go back and tell them what God says. You know, this is simple. God loves you, and you can see, like, on their face, like, wow.
Yes.
You know, wow. And we don't know what that did for them. You know, we don't know what that did for them. So our purpose, we don't know. What's our purpose in life? Our purpose is to build the kingdom,
That's
to
right.
know God, and to build his kingdom. about. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike, for calling on. I've been missing you, and I know that, you know, we're Facebook friends now, so I see that you're doing, you know, such great things for women that are in prison. Brother Mike's ministry is, what I know about him is he is a advocate for Sister Adrienne's sister in California, and now I see even the woman that was given a 20-year sentence in Florida. You start advocating for her also.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, yes, and she's a woman that what received 20 years for shooting up in the air to keep her abusive husband from beating her. And as the case was going on, my husband and I were listening to it, and they said that even the husband got on the stand and testified, you know, that he was abusive and that he beat her. And they some law that they passed allowed the judge. She didn't even have a jury trial. It was just a judge, wasn't it? Some law that they passed on the books there that allowed them to be able to imprison her for 20 years.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me, and the problem with this whole story was it happened right after Trayvon Martin had got killed. This is when he first got killed that this happened with her. In the new segment that I just posted on Facebook, I did a talk about it called The Fate of America last year. And just yesterday I was able to post what I said partially with some pictures. And it don't tell the whole story, but the gist of what I was saying was that you have the story about Casey Anthony, who murdered her baby. The little girl lied 4 times on the witness stand. And the only punishment she got was for the 4 lies that she told, not that she murdered her daughter. And she, this happened in Florida. Then I said about the Trayvon Martin. The slaying, it was a slaying. This happened in Florida. Then the distilling of the presidency some years ago by President Bush from Al Gore, that happened in Florida. Then I talked about what happened in Rosewood, that's Florida, how the blacks were killed because of a white woman telling a lie. There's a hotbed of things that happen where? In Florida. And the picture I was painting, how people that kill folks were getting off while those who barely done anything were the ones that were suffering. So the picture I was painting was the things that was happening in Florida. So, you know, I was telling folks before the Trayvon Martin verdict came in about Zimmerman, I say, don't get, you know, twisted, look here, don't get upset, but because I seen things that were happening, I was forewarning folks, hey, this man possibly might get off. And then when it came out that he did get off, I said, see, where did it happen? It happened in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of mysterious things happened right there in little bitty Florida.
Yeah. It's, you know, but we can't lose heart. Because God is still in control.
That's right.
God is still
Amen.
In control. And he's not surprised. I remember years ago, I don't even know who the preacher was, but he preached a message and he said, as long as Jesus is seated, we don't have anything to worry about. So, you know, we look at the injustices that are happening in the world, but we know that... My mom used to say, you get away, you get by, but you don't get away.
Yeah, don't get away.
Man. Don't get away. So,
hallelujah.
Excuse me. I'm just trying to pull you up to see. I think I read that, but I was going to put it on I have a posting on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, a group called They Overcame, and it's an open book that everybody can, you know, go on and look at it. I'm going to try to find your article, your posting, and put it on. Or did you put it on They Overcame? Did you put it on They Overcame?
I put it on my page from my phone, but I don't know if it made it. So I know for certain that if you go to Evangelist Adrienne Bernard's page, I put it on her page as well. And what it says is the fate of America. It's a 10-minute, 11-minute video. But the pictures are pictures of Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman, you know, the presidency. It's everything that I talk about, I bring a visual by picture. So as you listen, you can see the pictures that go by. I talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, so I put up pictures on Sodom and Gomorrah and whatnot, you know, the ills of society, how, you know, now we passed a law that gays can marry. Well, I talked about that a year ago, and here it is. They passed a law this year, so if everything plays right into what this said a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can pull it up from Adrienne Bernard's page, I know for a fact.
Yeah, I see it.
Okay.
I'm looking at it now. Amen. Well, we are. The time just goes by so fast. But I thank God. It does. I thank God for you calling in, and I thank God for you, Brother Merritt, for calling in, my friend and my brother, he and my sister, Lola. And I remembered her name was years ago, and I'm not telling my age, but there was a movie out, and it was what Lola Wants, Lola Gets. That was a song that they sang.
Wow.
That's how I remembered her name. Lola, sweet, sweet, sweet sister in the Lord. She and her husband have been very instrumental and helpful in my husband and our lives. And I guess when we first started, my husband gave the testimony of how he was diagnosed with colon cancer, and how your lives, Brother Merritt, how the Merritts came to our aid, because they're also helpful ministers, and they helped us, and through nutrition, we were able to overcome the cancer that had come into my husband's body. And I'm so thankful for it. And down through the years, it's just been such a blessing to us and our family. And they really are truly, they have testimonies. They truly have testimonies, you know, about what God. You do too, Brother Mike. I'm going to ask you to be a guest, because I was listening to you, and you were saying that through you helping, you know, having a purpose in your life and striving for the purpose that's in your life, it's helped you to keep some things that were a part of your past not to overtake you again. Yeah. So, are you there, Brother Merritt?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yes,
this
I'm here.
This is Minister Anointed Brother Michael Lewis. That's on the line with us today. And this is
Brother Lewis.
Minister and Anointed Brother Thomas Merritt. That's on the other line.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen. Well, wow. We you just about used up all the time. I was so saddened that our guest wasn't on today, but God knows, and when it's the right time for her to come on, she'll come on. So I do want her to get that testimony out, from homosexuality to pastoring, living a straight life now, living, knowing what God, what the enemy has tried to do. And you can look her up on YouTube, Linda Jernigan, Jernigan. You can look her up on Facebook, and she has a testimony on there. And she's advocating that they didn't pass in Illinois the gay rights marriage to be able to be married. She was saying in the YouTube that I looked at that, you know, 2 years ago, she said she never had any trouble going to see her loved one when they were in the hospital, and when either one of them never had any trouble, you know, going in. And that's the stance that they take, you know, that they don't have rights. They don't have rights. So we know that that's a lie from the pit, and she exposes that. She exposes that. So when the Lord is ready to have her on, then she will be on. So I just thank God for the broadcast today. And since I have you men of God on, I'm going to ask you, Brother Merritt, to pray over the broadcast. And then if you would, Minister Mike, if you would end the broadcast for me today, since my husband is not here, pray over to end the broadcast. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Okay, so.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Glory we give unto thee on this great day. This is the day that you have made, a day of rejoicing, a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise and worship and honor unto thee. For they overcame, Lord, is the program that you have established. You have put, Father God, your voice into the hearts of your daughter and her husband today. Each and every day as they come, Father, over the airways, as they come over the internet, Lord God Almighty, declaring and decreeing your word. Let your words that have come forth this day and every day that comes forth, go forth and accomplish everything it was sent forth to do in the lives of those, Father, that it reaches, going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature throughout the world, this broadcast goes. And as it goes, Father, we are praying for the hearers. For everyone that hears, let there be a change and a transformation take place within them. Let healing take place into their body. Deliverance come to them, Father. Let prosperity and blessings flow to them. Let their lives be changed and transformed into the new creature, the one new man, the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, let this day, this ministry continue, Father God, to grow and mature on the soundness, the truth of your word. Not of the words of the past where we just took things for granted, but let it be the solid foundation of your rock, Jesus, upon which we stand. The truth and the light is his word. And let that word, Father God, be from everlasting to everlasting, affecting and changing the lives of the hearers, Lord, like never before. For in the signs and the times that we're living in, Father, we need you more than ever now. And the word needs to go forth more than ever now. Continue to bless this ministry. But yet, Lord God Almighty, as you are the God of this ministry, Father God, let your voice spring forth with thunder and lightning. Let it affect change in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear kind, gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that we have heard on this day, O God. We pray that it have fallen upon good ground, springing up the everlasting life. Father, we thank you for the merits, O God, in the name of Jesus, asking you to continue to bless them. Thank you for the Burns family, God, asking you to continue to lead and guide them in the direction you would have them to go. Father, those that will listen
in the archives. We asking you to even bless them. Now, as we get ready to leave from this broadcast, Father, we pray that we leave not from your presence or your grace, but to bring us all back together at thine appointed time, where we will be careful and grateful to give you glory, to give you honor. And we ask that everything that we do, that you get the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. We just thank you for listening, those that have listened over the internet and over that will go back into the archives. We thank you for listening. We solicit your prayers. Keep us up in your prayers that we will do what God would have us to do. And tune in to New Destiny Ministry. Evangelist Adrienne Bernard is doing a great work, and she has had some awesome men and women of God to come on and speak the things that God has given her, her purpose. And she has allowing other ministers to deliver what God has on the inside of them. Because I tell people, or I post on my Facebook page, come and empty out your praise treasure chest so that God can fill it back up again. So as the ministers of God on New Destiny Ministry, every day, every Monday through Friday, she's on at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time, every day. This same number, New Destiny Ministry, Evangelist Adrienne Bernard. And then again on Sundays, she has prayer at, I believe it's 10 o'clock her time, so I'm not sure if it's various times, but it's 10 o'clock Pacific time. It's 10 o'clock our time because we're in church. So I think it's like maybe 7 her time. I'm not sure. You should be able to figure it out. But anyway, we just want to thank you for tuning in. And until next week, we just want to praise him. And you can go on in Facebook, you can go on They Overcame, the group Overcame, They Overcame, ask to join, and you'd be able to hear what Minister Michael Lewis was talking about, what he posted on Facebook. You will be able to go on. It's an open group, so you should be able to listen to it. God bless you.
We just come to forever and ever, forever and ever, yeah, yeah,
and ever,
for all that you've done for me. Put your hand on your chest and say, for me, can nobody tell it like you can tell it.
Yeah.
We've got a